This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Meanwhile, in the Geeks Out studio, no superhero trailer has dropped.
Blogosphere is all over it. We need to get a review out, and fast.
This looks like a job for Geeks Out.
Geeks Out!
Geeks Out on Joy 94.9.
You are back with terrifying Tamsin, creepy Clayton, and megalomaniacal Miranda Sparks. And right now we're going to be talking about Night Bloomers, which has just dropped on SBS from creator Andrew Undy Lee and starring Ra Chapman, Deborah Ann, Helen Kim, Joshua Park, Raiden Cassano, Jae-Woo Kim, Clara Kim, Gino Kim, Charles Ann, and Cooper Mortlock, among those are names definitely to keep an ear out for in the future. Now, Night Bloomers is an anthology of five shorts with the central theme of Korean-Australian diaspora as told through a horror lens by members of that community. That's a word that's been popping up, Tamsin. Mm. You kind of are like, what the hell?
I was like, dear, I know a lot of words, but, you know, there was one I've definitely never heard said out loud or in association.
Clayton's looking up the dictionary definition. By the
keep going. It's fine.
My understanding of it is diaspora is pining for a home that doesn't necessarily exist anymore, or, you know, a place that you've never been, but, you know, which has your roots to it. That's the sort of impression I get. I think I did also look up a dictionary definition, but I'd completely forgotten it.
The dispersion or spread of a people from their original homeland.
There we go.
So that would be why, because I was trying to understand why publication, like I was reading some other reviews, had said that it was about the immigration experience, because I got some of that, but that explains that.
So diaspora, yes, would be another word for an immigration experience, yes. Yeah.
I mean, it's really interesting because last week I did interview Andrew Undy Lee, you know, can check out, we'll be podcasting that a little later, the series creator. He gave some insights into the ways that Korean Australian culture differs from Korean culture. He noted that, you know, in his experience, that parents of second generation immigrants who came to Australia did so to escape from war, and that community being isolated from their birth country, you know, metabolized a lot of the trauma of the war in a different way. So there's definitely a lot of old-fashioned things in the Korean-Australian community that no longer exist in the native Korean community, for example. You know, and another fact, you know, a lot of these stories are, it's about, there's this disconnect between parents and their children, some of whom remember old Korea and had to escape it, and then the ones who are like born into the family, you know, with that history that they've never ever known. And these are really, you know, really prevalent themes through a lot of these stories. Now, as I mentioned, there are five episodes to Night Bloomers. So I thought maybe we would visit each of these one by one and get folks' thoughts on. Now, the first one, Striking Hairpin, tells the story of a woman disconnected from her roots who fixates upon a clerk from a local Korean market. This one hit me really, really hard because, you know, she does come from, you know, a Korean family, but she grew up in Broken Hill. So out in the sticks, doesn't generally interact much with other Korean people or Korean descended people. And so, you know, she may be a bit of a bogan, comes back to the city, pines to connect with her culture again, and that goes in a dark direction. I think this was actually one of my two favorites all up. But I know, Tamsin, I want to get your feelings on this one first up.
I completely agree. Like, it definitely, and I was trying to wonder if it was my favorite because I came into it knowing nothing. Like, I didn't know, I hadn't heard, I didn't listen to your interview yet, and I didn't actually even read the title.
Well, you should, because it'll be on the website.
I will be going home and listening to it.
Once it's posted. It's not posted yet.
Not yet. I've got photos now.
But yeah, it's I agree completely. Like really encapsulated a feeling of the outsider. You know, everyone sees you as being one thing and you're not that thing. So it was really, really had me encapsulated.
This is one of the two stories because there is a queer presence in these shorts as well. This story and one other had some big time relatable queer vibes in it as well. And I know one thing Andrew was telling me about in the interview, which again you'll be able to hear later, he talks about the lingering homophobia of the Korean Australian community that a lot of like has been moved past in a lot of ways in Korea.
That's a really common thing with cultures that have immigrated or become a diaspora.
Diasporic.
Yeah, diasporic.
Diasporic. It's one of those words that, like, you see it written down, you don't know how it's pronounced. Like, you know, how for years people think hyperbole is hyperbole.
Hyperbole, yeah. And if you say hyperbolic, it actually, you do say hyperbole. Yeah. So, yeah. But anyway, so that's really common among cultures where the homeland has moved on, but it hasn't happened within an insulated community. So, that it's a really interesting phenomena. With this episode, it actually starts off with her experiencing the horror of getting white-splained her culture to her. So there's like that actual cultural horror from that. But it does lead her to actually want to find out more that and a couple other things, which, you know, could be spoilery.
And again, you know, like we don't want to spoil this. It goes in, you know, it's a very strong story. It's one of my two favorites. Striking hairpin, you know, do check this out. It leads on then to Jacking Souls, which follows a young man who steals his father's car, but then finds himself stalked by a dark spirit. I think that's the best way I can sum that up without really spoiling it.
That was a clever way to sum it up. This is probably one of the scarier, like, I don't like the dark spirit side of this. Like, it was creepy as hell. Very, very cleverly done. And great story.
There is some ritual and definitely, like, you know, dealing with death in this one and, you know, like things from the other side. That I know it's I thought it was, you know, it was a bit scary, but it was also haunting and sad at the same time. And there is this pronounced intergenerational maybe conflict, discomfort. Maybe is the right word between a father and a son.
This was actually my favorite of them because I felt like it actually fitted a whole lot of complexity into a 10-minute piece around the relationship between father and son and the outcomes of what happens in the story really actually come through very strongly, and it's very impressive they told that much in 10 minutes.
Absolutely. It is worth noting that all of these episodes in the anthology are 10 to 15 minutes at the very most. I think it was a little over an hour to binge them all.
I believe it comes out to 55 minutes.
Something like that, yeah. But I know, so it's very easy to consume. You can do it in one sitting. Very, very much recommend it. There's also one. My other favorite in this is a story called Friend or Foe, which is about a hoarder. She herself is an immigrant. You know, again, that post-war mindset. She doesn't want to throw anything out, you know, waste not, want not sort of thing. She's estranged from her son and unwittingly invites a creature into her home. Clayton.
With this one, I was really intrigued by the hoarding thing to start off with, but I actually think it gets explained extremely well why she has that tendency, and it's far beyond what you see on the hoarding reality shows, and it's a much better explanation. I really enjoyed it for that point of view.
I mean, I relate to that as well. You know, obviously, I don't have a Korean mom or a Korean grandma, but, you know, like my grandma who was an adult during World War II, still had that scarcity mindset going on where she would not throw anything out. And, you know, I very much, it's like, yes, that's a mirrored experience right there. Tamsin.
No, I think it was really interesting. And again, another 10 minute, you know, these are all, as we've said before, these are all 10 minutes. And it beautifully put a really like deep history across with what's happening now into such a really nice piece.
What do we think of, because there was a monster, like a gluttonous monster in here. I've heard it called a goblin, and I'm like, okay, well, you know, I thought of it like just a demon or a weird, no, it's a goblin is what it is.
It was goblin.
what do we think of the actual monster in this one?
Loved him. I just wanted to hug him.
there were definitely moments of that, and it's like, oh yeah, I wanna, you know, definitely hug this blue horned thing with ridiculously sharp teeth who cries if he doesn't eat. And it sort of fits that he lands in this story with, like, you know, a lonely woman who's just like, oh, I'd feed my son if I could. And again, that's a thing that, you know, a lot of mums do, like, especially ethnic mums, I found, that they'll just want to feed kids.
This does go a step further than that.
That's why you have
no
to
spoilers.
Watch.
No spoilers.
So, looking through a bit of Korean culture, I think it is a type of dekorbi, which I may be saying in a Japanese way because I know a lot more Japanese. So,
I love it.
Yeah, that's what I think it is, but I'm not sure.
It's not explicitly said, but you know, like either way, is a nice.
It come up when I looked up Korean goblin. Let's put it that way. So yeah,
it's funny and scary at the same time as monster. We also have Second Coming, which, you know, not going to spoil the end, obviously, but it follows two paramedics who argue about the future and how they can raise a child. In a world that sees them as monsters. And, you know, this is a same-sex couple as well who are both working as paramedics.
And a mixed-race couple as well.
Mixed-race couple as well. I didn't... I think this is the one that I didn't see the Korean-Australian diaspora in. But maybe I'm just tone deaf on that front.
Mm. So from this point of view, I got the food connection because sundae is what they eat, which is the Korean blood sausage. Yeah. Sundae. I nearly spoiled stuff. But other than that, yeah, it was more just about this couple. What I love, though, is that they managed to find a reason to have a guy in his underwear just lying in throughout the whole episode. That was really clever. So I think it was bathers.
Pretty hot guy.
Yeah, it was good. I was enjoying.
Tamsin.
I agree completely. Like, it was a really clever episode of, like, I was like, he just had a heart attack. Why is he just in his underwear? Where did he have a heart attack? And that was a bit distracting.
And you also agree that the Korean guy in his underwear was hot.
Yeah. There we
go. Huge thighs.
And lastly, we also had a story in there, Passing On, which features a mother and a daughter who hold a ritual on the anniversary of their matriarch's death. I don't think I'm spoiling anything when I say this is a ghost story.
I think you're fine with that, yes?
Yeah, definitely. And they talk about... what's called the Jessa ritual, which is a ceremony that families generally hold on the anniversary of the death of a loved one, particularly an elder. And you know, it's one of those things where before midnight you lay out a whole bunch of food and you offer it to them, and then you get to eat it later after midnight, I think.
Sort of like Gremlins, but not quite.
Now, looking it up, this ritual actually is it's still largely performed in Korea and I think China. But because there's a growing influence of Christianity in Korea at the moment, it's largely practiced by other non-Abrahamic religions, because there's also a Muslim population growing in Korea as well.
Okay.
Something I found in my research.
Yeah.
There you go.
I think this one had the best connection between the diaspora and the family connection. I think that worked so well in this one.
Because here you have the daughter who's just like wants to Google everything on her phone and the mum who's like, no, this tradition is important and I got to teach it to you. Tamsin?
This is probably my least favourite. I just didn't connect with it.
That's fair enough. Now, either way, though, you know, like, just because it's your least favorite doesn't mean it's not.
No, exactly.
Doesn't mean it's not any good. I actually did have a lot of fun. Maybe not fun, but I was definitely engaged with this, and definitely don't regret it. My interview with series creator Andrew Undy Kim can be found online very, very soon. If you do want to check out Night Bloomers, though, it is currently on SBS and streaming on the SBS On Demand website. Folks, you are listening to Geeks Out. It's Halloween Eve. It's the eve of Halloween. Hallows Eve Eve. We'll be back in a second to talk queer horror. Don't go anywhere.
Geeks Out is Joy's home of pop culture, sci-fi, horror, comics, anime, and more. Enter the Nerdsphere to find out the latest news and reviews from a queer perspective. From Star Wars to Steven Universe, Doctor Who to DC Comics, and Kaiju to Creepshow. Stay caught up on the past, present, and future. Geeks Out beams down on Mondays at 7 p.m. on Joy.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.